You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Good evening. I am Gordon Damer, filling in for the great Chris Carlin for the next, 2.5 hours. We will take you to Lakers-Clippers coverage. And look, there's so much stuff I got to get into. We might even cut into the Lakers and Clippers. I mean, nothing important happens in the first half of an NBA game. I'll just continue to talk while the game's going on. I'll find my spots. I'm considered a professional broadcaster. But we have lots to do, we got lots to do on this Tuesday night edition. First off, happy holidays to you and yours. Hopefully you're having a safe, healthy holiday season. If you celebrated Hanukkah, happy Hanukkah. If you celebrate Christmas, Merry Christmas. I know one thing. I know we will all be celebrating Happy New Year, right? Let's put that out there, right? I know that's one thing. We're all on the same. 2021, let's move on to that. But of course, the number you know, 1-800-919-ESPN. I am on Twitter, on Instagram, at Gordon Damer. And, you know, they say in radio, you're doing a sports talk show. You want to play the hits. But sometimes you find some story that has not gotten nearly the amount of attention that it should get. And it's a good idea sometimes to highlight that story because it's something that can suck everybody in. So I'm not sure if anybody caught this but me. But did anyone else notice back on Sunday? I know it's a couple days old now. It's not, you know, pressing. It's not right front and center. But did anyone else catch that the Jets won on Sunday? I know there was a lot of other stuff going on. You know, big weekend of football. You got playoffs this. You got fantasy football destroying your life. You got betting. You got this. I know a lot of people might not have noticed, but that the Jets won. And also, maybe you didn't notice, that was their first win of the year. And they are now no longer, I don't know if you heard about this guy, Trevor Lawrence, they are no longer projected to be drafting Trevor Lawrence come NFL draft. I'm not sure if anybody else saw that. But I know there's been a lot, I'm kidding obviously, but I know there's been a lot of reaction to the Jets win on Sunday. People saying it's a disaster. It's either one or the other, right? It's either a complete outright disaster or it's on the other spectrum. Well, you know, it's not a disaster. It's not so bad. It's not so bad. Yeah, they won a game. You shouldn't be rooting for your team to lose a game. As if what you root for happens, right? Like, as if it's on you for some reason. Yeah, you rooting for the team to lose all of a sudden now is impacting the wins and the losses. Right, okay. First 13 weeks, you were wanting them to win, at least the first 4 or 5, you wanted to win a game. Once it got carried away, you're saying, you know what? May as well throw in the towel here and wait till next year. So which is it? Is it a disaster? Or is it, not so bad? Well, if I had to pick one, usually I like to try and find some middle ground. In case you don't know, I'm about bringing people together. But if I had to pick one of those polar opposites, I would say, obviously, it's a disaster. It's a disaster. Of course it is. It was the one thing giving you some hope throughout this barren season. It was the one thing that you could point to, that beaming star in the sky. Yes, right now we have no food, we have no shelter, we have no heat, but at least we have this one thing up in the sky that can guide us to a brighter future. And it turns out that that star was just a plane. It was just a plane flying by, and it was way too high up there. He couldn't even see you. It's a disaster. It was the best thing that you had going for you after this season. And that's where the conversation starts. Once this season is over, that's how bad this year has been. So for all the talk, picks, we have all these picks, and we got all this cap space, we're going to have a new coach, and we have a GM we think he knows. Great. You had the shot to get a generational quarterback talent who we all knew coming into the year was going to be the number one pick in the draft. He's been the best prospect since Andrew Luck. All you had to do was just keep doing what you were doing. And that's the time. That's the time. Now, I'll be honest. I am not convinced it's over yet. You know, it's funny that the Jets win on Sunday and the Jaguars lose again. So now the Jaguars have taken, you know, because of strength of schedule, this lead for the number one pick with 2 weeks left. But, you know, right after a week where the Jets and the Bengals both won, I can't say for sure that it's over. But if it is, yes, this is the worst thing to happen to the Jets in a very long time. It's even worse than hiring of Adam Gase. Think about that. Gase, you can get rid of easily. Finding the quarterback, that's far more difficult. You thought you had one a couple of years ago. We're sitting here 3 years later. We still don't know. So you lost out on a surefire quarterback. Now, I'm not saying that there's nothing that's guaranteed in life, right? There's nothing. But that quarterback prospect was about as foolproof as you can get. And here's the other side of the coin. For the people, well, you know, it's not that bad. What did you gain? What did you get out of the deal, right? Like, if you're making a trade-off, well, we won on Sunday. All right, we're going to lose the number one pick, more than likely. We're not going to get Trevor Lawrence, more than likely. But what did you gain out of it? A win against the Rams in week 15 of the, I mean, talk about meaningless. Well, it makes the players feel better. Okay, most of the players, you would think, are not going to be here next year. Did the quarterback all of a sudden show you somehow, as if it were even possible for the quarterback to show you in one game? Oh my God, this boy, we really, he played okay. But there was nothing there. You say, oh my God, well, at least we got this. No, you don't gain anything, and you lose the guy who at least the hope of was getting you through the long, cold winter. Now, I am not saying fans should be mad at the players. You have to be a special kind of loser to think that the players care even one tiny iota about draft picks or your fantasy team. If you ever tweet a professional athlete about something that the athlete did and it impacted your fantasy league, you get all the ridicule that you deserve. You deserve even more ridicule. No matter how much ridicule they heap on you, you deserve even more ridicule than that. But the players also have to realize the fans' investment started with, now they don't care, but the fans' investment started way before these players got here, and it's still going to be an investment that's ongoing way after they're gone. So leading up to the Rams game, hearing, I think it was Connor McGovern who said that, you know, any player or any talk about, you know, from fans sitting on their couch eating chips and dip and pizza, you don't eat all those three things at the same time. You eat the chips and the dip at the beginning, maybe a little bit before the game, and then you get the pizza at halftime. You don't do all three at once. But the player motivation, I get it, it's not about the future, but the fans' interest is not about the present, because the present is a disaster. It's a disaster. Now, I have not gotten the sense that fans are mad at the players, and they shouldn't be. The players' job is to go out there and do the best they can to try and win a game. But the fans are mad. But you know who they're really mad at? At the deepest level, it's not at the players. It's not at the coach. At the deepest level, fans, you have to be mad at yourself. You have to be mad that you root for an organization that is largely known for being lost as an organization, right? And in terms of the ultimate goal, you have never been further away from the ultimate goal. So I think you're mad at you know, that you got sucked in again thinking you were going to have this good thing, or you get mad at the person who convinced you to become a fan of the team, or yourself for deciding, you know what, this is going to be my team. At the end of the day, you're resigned with all this anger, and there's no way to put it. But at the end of the day, you have to be mad at yourself. And at the end of the day, you can't quit it, right? No good fan, no matter how many people will tell you, you know what? That's it, I'm done. That's it, I can't take this anymore. That's it, I thought that this was going to be it. No matter how many times you hear that, it's not true. No good, true fan can quit, no matter how many times you think you can. You always get roped back in, and you'll get, even if you've lost hope after this, you'll get roped back in. We're all suckers at the end of the day. But at the end of the day, the Jet fan who's mad that you lost out on Trevor Lawrence, or you're lost out on this number one pick, or lost out on the hope, at the end of the day, you're mad at yourself because you knew, I mean, I don't know how many calls we took that Jet fans knew this was going to happen, and yet when it happened, they're still ticked off about it. We're going to take some calls here in a second. So the question is, right, like, it's happened, right? And assuming it, I'm not convinced, though. I mean, this has been a weird year. The Jaguars have, not in the last couple of weeks, but they have been competitive. I would not be shocked if the Jaguars somehow find a way to win a game. I would not really be all that shocked that in week 17, the Jets find a way to win a game against the Patriots. I'm not chalking it up completely to being Trevor Lawrence is gone. I would also not rule out completely the possibility that, Trevor Lawrence decides, you know what, I'd rather be in New York City, and there's some way that he can force his way to the Jets if he wanted it to. You know, I'm not ruling anything out is my point. But the question is, if things remain the way they are, Jets stay at 2. What do? Do you draft a quarterback? Do you draft a player at 2? Do you move down? Well, first off, the best news. Here's the best news for Jet fans that you've heard all week. No matter what the approach that they take, I feel confident sitting here on 98.7 FM on December 22nd, the Jets will not draft a running back at number 2. All right? So not even the Jets would do something that dumb. All right? So that tells you that they're not going to do that. All right? At least they have that one out of the way, right? They don't have to worry about that one. The actual approach, though, I would think is going to rely on who you hire as the head coach. The problem is, how is it not going to be really Joe Douglas's decision, right? Like, isn't he going to if the Jets fire, well, clearly they're going to fire Adam Gase, and Joe Douglas is going to have a major hand in who they hire next. How is Joe Douglas not going to be in favor of the coach who also agrees with him on what the direction at quarterback is going to be? So I think it's largely going to come down to Joe Douglas. I myself think that everybody just needs a fresh start. To me, this season has to be a bottoming out. This is going to be now 10 straight years of missing the playoffs. Do I put all the failures on Sam Darnold? No. But I think it's probably best for Sam. I think he needs a fresh start. I think the Jets need a fresh start. And here's the thing. If you decide, you know what, Sam's going to be the guy, we don't like any of these quarterbacks. To me, that's a bad sign if you're a talent evaluator saying, you know what, I don't like any of these none of the quarterbacks at all in this draft. I don't like them more than Sam. This is not going to be a one-off season kind of fix. This is going to take some time. And it seems like the only time anyone will actually put blame on Sam is when everything is fixed. It's going to take a while for that to happen whenever it happens, right? Offensive line has to be fixed. We need better wide receivers. We need a tight end who can catch the ball on a consistent basis, maybe stretch the field a little bit. You need a running game. Progress just doesn't usually come in one off season, and not certainly from where the Jets are coming from. Plus, Sam's going to start to become expensive. So I just think it's the best thing for Sam. I think it's the best thing for the organization to have a break. You can recoup whatever you can recoup for Sam. If it is true that the general consensus around the league is that Darnold is better than any of the quarterbacks in this draft, okay, well, you should be able to strike a pretty good deal to be able to recoup something from that draft pick from a couple of years ago. I would find the best quarterback that I like, that I feel confident, and hire a coach that also feels the same way, and then get that guy. You're sitting at 2. And again, I would not completely rule out that they're not going to be sitting at 2. I think the second, if you can't find any of the quarterbacks in this draft that you like, okay, fine. You want to stick with Sam? You want to give him another contract and see, you know, we put all the pieces around? Okay, fine. I wouldn't draft anybody at 2. I would then trade that pick from 2, move back, add picks. This team is almost, I mean, you are going to have to, there's going to be a team that's going to want to move up. You are not a quick fit. This is not even a rebuild. This is a build. Rebuild means that something already existed. You are coming from 1-15 likely. So I'm not sure that this team has all that much talent. And I want as many shots as of the dartboard to be able to find some, you know, real sustainable talent to kind of recoup after the bad drafts of the last few years and Mike Maccagnan. So my first thing would be find a quarterback, trade Sam. My second one, if I'm going to keep Sam, I deal that second pick. And then the last resort, I'm picking, you know, you have to see what the draft. I've been on this pro football focused draft simulator thing where you put in whatever team you want to control. I've been on that thing round and round and round. Usually when it comes down to it, you have a top 5 pick. If you're not in the quarterback, okay, you got to either find a left tackle. You think the Jets already have that, so that's 2 things out. Then you want to find a pass rusher or a shutdown corner. I don't know that at 2 there's anybody there that says, oh, that screams to me at this point right now on December 22nd, absolutely got to have that guy, got to have that guy. So, I mean, that might change as things go along, but as right now, I would say if I'm keeping Sam, I'm trading that number 2 pick, I'm moving down, I'm stockpiling a pick this year and next year, as many, keep the wheel going, because we're going to need those wheels to go round and round and round to kind of recoup after the Mike Maccagnan years. All right, let's get some calls. In 1-800-919-ESPN is the phone number. Greg has been holding the longest. Greg, in Jersey City, what's going on, my man?
Hey, Gordon, how are you? Thanks for taking my call. Much appreciated.
Thanks, man.
So, Giants fan calling about these Jets here. With the second pick, though, I haven't really heard anybody mentioning the prospect of taking this this tackle out of Oregon. What about taking him at 2 to be a bookend with Becton, and then, you know, grab a running back that's not 50 years old and try to actually balance out that passing game with a good rushing game?
Well, I mean, the tackle that he's always mentioned is a top five pick, and I'm sure he will be for somebody. It seems like, at least right now, it seems to make the most sense for the Bengals after the Joe Burrow injury. Usually you don't, you know, most teams don't have a high, you know, you don't use a top five pick on a right tackle when you already have the left tackle. And it would be one thing if Becton had not really shown at this point that he can be a premier left tackle in football, and you worry, you know what, maybe we might have to move this guy to right tackle down the road. He looks the part. He's played, you know, outside of a couple of injuries here or there, he's looked the part at left tackle. So I don't know if that's really the best use of the resources there at number 2. I think you have to find one of the, you know, football teams pay in one of those four areas. They pay the quarterback, they pay the pass rusher, they pay the left tackle, and they pay the shutdown corner. So I would say to the Jets, if you think you have the quarterback, it seems like you got the left tackle, you got to find pass rushers, shutdown corner, and if you're going to use that number 2 pick. And I don't see anybody, at least right now, that jumps off the page that would make you say, you know what, I'm definitely using that pick rather than maybe moving down to 5, still getting the same guy you want, and maybe getting another pick or two down the road.
All right, I appreciate you, man. Thank you.
All right, Greg, thanks for the call. 1-800-919-ESPN, 1-800-919-3776. I have Roe is in Brooklyn. I don't know if that's correct, but we'll go with Roe. What's going on, my man?
Hey, Gordon, what's going on? Appreciate you taking the phone call.
All right.
Quick question.
Yeah.
Everybody, I'm not a big Adam Gates fan, but I think we got to ask Sam.
Why not?
We got to really ask Sam, is he hindering your development? You know, because they're bringing another coach, another system with Sam. We already shaky about Sam as it is. So the wait for him to learn a new system, new style of play, I would really ask Sam, is it Adam Gates or it was just a bad year?
Look, I don't think you need to ask him specifically. I think the results kind of say that on the field. And, you know, Sam has had his faults. Not being a stand-up guy is certainly not one of them. He has defended the coach at every turn. He said all the right things. You know, for him, though, I think for the best thing for his career, it would probably be to, you know, it's already 3 years in. I don't know how many more cracks you're going to get, and I don't get the sense that one, even if Joe Douglas were to nail, you know, 75% of the moves this offseason, that all of a sudden the Jets are going to, even next year, you're going to be looking at Sam Darnold and say, okay, for sure I know what I have, because with Sam, the problem is he has moments where the ceiling looks very, very high, but he also has these moments where it looks like he's never played football before. So I just think the best thing for him is probably to find a fresh start and to find someone who believes in him and let him kind of restart his career someplace else with more talent where it's a little bit more ready-made situation. All right, Ro. Ro is, we got him. We got the point. But I thought he was going to say that Adam Gase was going to be back. I thought that was the point he was going to make. And I was going to say, wait a second. I don't care who's making, as I've brought up in the morning show, I don't care who's making the decision. I don't care if it's Christopher Johnson. I don't care if it's Woody Johnson. I don't care if it's Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I don't care if it's Jimmy Johnson. I don't care if it's Larry Johnson. I don't care if it's Randy Big Unit Johnson. Adam Gase, I don't care if they win the last 2 games by 50 points each. There is no way possible that Adam Gase will be back. God would not allow me to be that happy. Jay is in Ringwood. Jay, what's going on, my man?
How you doing, Gordon?
I'm good, man. What's up?
So I love the fact that I finally understand how Yankee fans feel. I'm a Mets fan. And this weekend, watching this game as a Giant fan, I couldn't help myself but just laugh. The whole time I was there watching the game and I was seeing them, I was just laughing. And then I was like, Eureka, this is what the Yankee fans mean about the Mets and their consistent like loser mentality and the way that they lose. Because I finally got it. There's no way that you let Adam Gase coach. Like, whoever let him coach, he should have been fired with Greg Williams. It should have been that the same day cleanup. And let the players are going to play, and they should play. They should always play to win. But as an organization, you can't, man. You gotta understand what to do. It reminds me of Phil Jackson picking the fourth pick and then getting fired a month later.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know if I follow you all the way there, Jay, but yeah, look, there is a sense, and I get it, and thanks for the call, Jay, that, you know, the Jet fan who has been sitting there waiting through this season telling you, you know, Trevor Lawrence, Trevor Lawrence, Trevor Lawrence, and then when it gets right, when the rubber hits the road, and look, I was not one who wanted to fire Adam Gase because I felt like you don't do, the results have been consistent throughout time. He has lost every single week. And even last year, when they won some games down the stretch, it wasn't like they were beating any good teams. So as you looked at the schedule the second half of the year, it didn't look like there was going to be any winnable games. And really, what does that loss say about the Rams? Talk about, you know, you talk about you can put all the right things in place, big time defense, running game, weapons, receivers, this thing, that thing. If you get the quarterback wrong, man, it's very hard to overcome that. And the Rams, clearly, with Goff, got it wrong. I mean, they are going to probably, they've already lost the Super Bowl with Goff as the quarterback. They probably have cost themselves. If they don't move on, I don't see any improvement from Jared Goff at this point that tells me, you know what, you can win a Super Bowl with that guy. And I'm usually pretty open to that. I just don't see any way that they're going to end up costing themselves during this run, that whatever window of opportunity there is for them, that they're going to cost themselves by picking the wrong quarterback. And I don't see any way that that they're going to be able to do that with Goff as their QB. So, you know, it's all well and good. You know, for all the people who tell you you can't tank in the NFL, tanking in the NFL has been – nobody's done it really yet. I think the Browns kind of did it, but you can do – somebody eventually in our lifetime will do it, and if you do it right – see, the problem is everybody gets hinky about it. You know, the Dolphins, they could have really, look, Tua has looked okay, but he hasn't looked as good as Burrow looked when he was healthy. There is benefits to tanking in the NFL. One of them is, if you lose all the games, you get the pick. It's not like the NBA. So, you know, that's one thing that you definitely have going for you. Also, if you nail the pick, you're definitely going to get the guy for probably his entire career. So... there's definitely benefits to tanking in the NFL, and whether or not a team finally realizes that, because it doesn't even feel like the Jaguars understand that either. I mean, they're getting close to winning games every single week, so I don't know how I feel about that if I were a Jaguar fan, one of those nine people that exist. I would also say this, because we were talking about the conversation about the coach, right? Like, I don't know who's going to be, you know, in the mix. Eric Bieniemy's a name that's out there from time to time. I would hope for Eric Bieniemy's sake that he could get a, you know, I would think if you were ranking the jobs, right, you're looking at the offseason. Clearly the number one job, if it becomes available, and it almost certainly is going to become available, is the Chargers job, right? They got the quarterback there. They got Bosa there. They got some talent there. They're going to have a high pick this year. I would think that that's the nut. Plus, you get to live in San Diego. That's not terrible either. So I guess you don't live in San Diego, right? You have to live in L.A. Do you have to live in L.A.? I don't know. You live in California. That's not too bad a place to live. So I would think the Chargers job is still the number one job. I would think if the Jaguars get the number one pick, then the Jaguars are going to be the number two opening. If you were going, right, you walk in day one, you got your quarterback questions settled. Now you have a lot of other questions to answer, but they're kind of in the same situation as the Jets in terms of picks, in terms of caps, salary cap space. So they're sitting pretty there too. And then I would think that the third job is probably the Jets, right? Especially if you are someone, if you're a coach that believe, you know, knows Joe Douglas and believes in Joe Douglas, I would think that that should be, you know, if you're on the same page as him, that would be the third job. After that, I think they're all kind of a crapshoot. Texans are probably fourth because you have Watson, but you don't have a whole lot else. You don't have any picks this, you know, you don't have a first round or a second round pick this year. I think the cap situation is a bit of a mess. And then the Falcons, I'd probably say, would be next. And then the Lions, the Lions, they're never good. They're never, ever, ever good. So I don't know why anybody would want to go there, unless you don't have any other options. You know, so there's only 32 jobs, right? So you got to take one of them. If you want to get one, it might be the only job you get. All right, so let's get back to the phones. 1-800-919-ESPN is the phone number. Let's go out to Alex is in River Edge. Alex, what's going on, man?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good.
Look, I am a diehard Jets fan. I'm 30 years old. These last 10 years have been the biggest suffering for any Jets fan because it's 10 straight years out of the playoffs. But this is what I want them to do since they're likely to get the second pick. I still believe in Sam Darnold, and what I want Joey Douglas to do is trade out of that number two pick, get as many picks as possible, and build around Darnold because he has shown flashes as a Jets quarterback. You get him the right coach, this team can be an 8-win team or even better in just one offseason. Look, they went 1-15 in 96. They got Parcells in 97. They turned it around. Eric Bieniemy can lead this Jets team
forward. So Eric Bieniemy is now Bill Parcells?
No, I'm just saying that he can, you know, fix Sam Darnold and get him going, and he can, and Darnold will thrive into a great quarterback that we know he will be.
Well, look, Alex, that might be true. You're right. I mean, you are right. There are moments where Sam does look, you know, you see him do individual things. I would think that each quarterback that was taken high, you know, he went through it one time with, be it Mitch Trubisky, be it this guy or that guy, any guy, you know, Mariota, Jameis Winston. There are always flashes for guys. Yeah, that look at this throw. You can pinpoint individual plays. The problem with Sam is that the low points are so much lower than even the high points are high that I don't know how safe I would feel. And if you're Joe Douglas or if you're a head coach coming in here, a lot of times in the NFL, you know, you get, it's one and done, right? Like, you're betting your career on having success because you might not get another chance. So I don't know that I would feel all that comfortable. I'm not saying you're completely wrong. It's possible that Sam Darnold does turn things around. I just would not be betting my NFL future on that fact when I have the second pick in the draft. All right, there we go. Am I solving problems tonight? I am just bringing in the tired, the weathered, the beaten down Jet fan, and I'm providing them counsel. And actually, now they haven't said this, but it's just something that I sense myself, making them feel better about themselves, making themselves feel better about their lot in life. And I would say to any of the callers like that last, for anybody, if you can, if it's possible, this is the holiday season, right? Not that we might be seeing that many family members, but I would guess if you're seeing your parents, especially your dad, and your dad is the person who got you into being a Jet fan, I would say you confront them this holiday season. Just confront them. Get it all out in the open. There has to be some resentment there that here I am being a good son or daughter, and you have laden me with this just albatross, absolute albatross of a franchise that brings nothing but dread and disaster. Guys talking about 10 years out of the playoffs. They haven't even been close. They got close 1 year. That's it. And here you are with this albatross of a franchise. It's just, it's around your neck. So I would say, get your, you know, almost like tomorrow, I think, is the starting of Festivus, right? The airing of grievances. So I would say you just line them up, you know? Dad, this is, you did this to me. What are you going to do to right the ship? And you confront them head on, face to face. All right, let's go back to the phone. That's what I'm about, bringing people together and solving problems. Let's go to Matt is in Huntington. Matt. Hello.
Hey,
Matt.
How are you?
I'm good, Matt. What's going on?
So, I have an interesting take on the situation. I don't really know if it's ever happened, but the franchise tag does exist in the league. Yeah. And I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you have to sacrifice a first-round pick if you do sign a player.
I know at one point it was two first-round picks. I don't know what that is now. I have to go back and check, Matt. But go ahead.
Fair enough. And I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
I think Dak Prescott is worth a look. We have the most salary cap in the league, potentially. Mm-hmm. And he has proven that he can turn a franchise and people around him, if he has a good line, into more. And he could potentially really be a difference maker. And I know it's not a typical thing to be done, but sometimes you got to do something different to make it happen. And then, if you don't have to sacrifice the second pick, maybe you give Seattle, and then Seattle's next year, potentially, you use that second pick on the tackle out of Oregon or a receiver like Chase. That's my take. So,
well, look, I mean, in terms of Dak Prescott, I think he would have to want to go to the Jets. He would have to want to leave what the situation is. So I think that that's a bit of a pipe dream. I'll take a look in the break about, you know, how the franchise tag works and whether or not, you know, players can negotiate offer sheets with other teams. But those clubs would have to send the tagged player's original team 2 first-round picks if they were to sign the player after the original team opted out of matching the deal. So you would have to give up 2 first-round picks for Dak Prescott. What's that?
We do have 4 over the next 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not saying that it's crazy, but I think that you'd have to have, you know, it's not the type of thing where you're drafting a player. You'd have to get Dak Prescott to say, you know what, I'd rather leave where I am in Dallas and go to the Jets.
You know, do you think Jason Garrett, potentially being offered head coach, could bring that in? Could bring him in?
I think that there's lots of avenues you can go, Matt. I think that that one's kind of out there. I don't think that one's going to happen.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Remember, I said it. If it happens,
look. Hey, look. If it happens, Matt in Huntington, he is the man who pinpointed it first. We will. And I have a long memory. So if you're wrong, I will find you, and I will track you down, and I will blame you face to face. Much like you should blame your parents, your father, if he's the one. I just think that as a parent, you owe it to your kid to kind of come up with whatever team they want to root for. If you put it on your kid, well, look, especially after living the life yourself, right? It's like, remember the movie All the Right Moves with Tom Cruise, Ampipe, right? He's the defensive back. He's trying to find a school, and he gets blackballed and all these type of things. The father didn't want him to work in the mines. He wanted him to get out. That's a good father. Labeling your kid with a Jet fandom, that's unacceptable. It's bad parenting. And if I were the kid, I would not stand for it. So I would confront your parents this holiday season. Let's go to Vernon in Freeport. Vernon, what's going on, my man?
Hey, Gord, listen, I really would love to be upset with you tonight. The things, the sarcasm.
Too adorable.
But at the end of the day, you're so right. Like, I can't even argue with you. I can't debate anything you're saying.
Vernon, can you talk to my wife? Because I feel like she needs some of this wisdom as well. See, I point out things all day long that she's doing wrong, and she disagrees with me. So maybe you could talk some sense into her.
Yeah, well, tonight, if she's listening, she should take heed to the things that you're spewing. Because at the end of the day, I agree. I've ruined my children. I've been on other shows, and I've mentioned to them how I've cursed my kids. I have 7 children, 4 boys, 3 girls. They all are Jet fans.
Oh my God.
My oldest son and a nephew. I've even cursed a nephew.
Nephew? Vernon, oh my God. You didn't do enough damage in your own house? You had to reach out to the nephew?
Exactly, 100%. He just sent me a text on Sunday after they won. He gave his resignation as a Jet fan. And then my oldest son seconded the notion that, you know, they both would quit. But, I mean, it's just like you said earlier. You really can't quit.
You can't say
that you're out. My oldest son said he quit after the butt fumble, and he just quit again yesterday. So, again, you were right again because
Well, Vernon,
can't quit.
I will say this. There is one caveat. There is one escape clause that you can get out of rooting for the Jets. Now, it's not used very often. I don't know of anybody who has used it so far. But if one of those kids plays in the NFL, you can then switch your allegiance from your team to your blood, right? Like if your son were to be able to get into the NFL somehow, and they got drafted by, I don't know, the Texans for just an art. You can become a Texans fan. That is allowed.
Yes. I wish that could work out that way. But unlike Rothenberg, he said he wouldn't switch his allegiance if his son played for the Dallas Cowboys. He would just hate his son and the team. But I digress. At the end of the day, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news. But no one's listening. No one's listening to the tea leaves like that are just dangling around. Adam Gase is coming back as coach.
No way. No, Vernon, I'm sorry.
Mark my words.
Well, all right. We'll put Vernon in the book. Matt is in Huntington saying that Dak Prescott's coming. Now, Vernon is from Freeport is saying that Adam Gase, there's no way.
Now,
I don't care who's making the decision. There's no possibility.
I don't want him back. Let's be clear on that. I'm not saying that I approve of that. I don't want him back. I want him gone. But no one's listening to Joe Douglas. In week six, I listened intently to him say on the radio he took the blame for everything. And, of course, he could because he has a 6-year deal. So with a 6-year deal, you're not getting fired in a year and a half on the job. This you only had one draft, so he could fall on the sport. And this is exactly what he did for his buddy. For his friend who helped him get the job, he went out and said on the radio, it's all my fault. Blame me for everything. Blame me for not putting the talent around Sam and giving Adam the tools to work with. And now, conveniently, the only way, Gordon, that I knew he was going to be gone was with an 0-16 season. So not only winning Sunday just cost us Trevor Lawrence, but it also kind of opened up a window for them now to come up with all the excuses in the world to bring him back. They're going to say, and I'm going to list them for you. They're going to say COVID, not having a full team. They're going to say injuries. They're going to say that they don't want to hurt Sam by giving him a third coordinator in 4 years. These are the things that they're going to fall upon to bring this man back. Joe Douglas said on the radio, and I repeat, he said, I look forward to building this thing up from the ground with Adam Gates.
Well, Vernon, thank you for the phone call. We're running a little bit late. Thank you for the phone call, Vernon. And look, that is where they're going to have to build it from. They're not in the base. They're in the sub-basement. Have you ever found a house that has like a sub-basement? That's where they are right now. So, look, I don't think that there's any possible way. And I will say this. If it were to transpire that Joe Douglas has some say, and I think he would certainly have some say, on what the right move is after this season. And he were someone who put it out there that Adam Gase should be back. There's this old story about a guy has a job and his replacement is coming in. And he hands him two envelopes. And he says, when things go wrong, open the first envelope. And if things continue to go wrong, open the second envelope. So the guy who's the replacement comes on and things are terrible for the situation, for the company, everything else. So people are yelling and screaming at him. So he opens the first envelope, and the envelope says, blame everything on me, meaning the predecessor. And that's what he does. He blames everything on the predecessor. Oh, it's all his fault, blah, 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 blah. So then things, you know, stabilize for a little while, and then they get worse again. So then what is he going to do? He's got to go open the second envelope. So the second envelope, he opens it up, and it says, get yourself two envelopes. So if Joe Douglas, the point of that story is that if Joe Douglas has a hand in bringing Adam Gase back, which is so sincere, I know this is the time of miracles, that would be it's so far beyond a miracle that Adam Gase would be back, then it becomes on Joe Douglas too. It's not just about him doing a good job at GM. It would be him vouching for Adam Gase, who by two seasons in, we all realize there has to be a change, right? Like, I'm talking about a fresh start for Sam. Can you imagine if Sam wins the game that they won, and now that means that Gase is coming back? Oh my God, what have I done to myself? But I didn't want to get to the Giants too, because as I said earlier, boy oh boy, did the bloom come off that rose quickly. And here you waited all day for a Sunday night, and that was the Sunday night you got. They flexed into that game. Boof! Yikes. And it's kind of funny to hear, because we did the Dwayne Haskins story in ENN during the K show today, and, you know, just kind of mentioned it there. You know, you go on Twitter and this place and that place, a lot of Giant fans enjoying Dwayne Haskins' failures, which, look, they're all on him. I mean, the fact that Ron Rivera basically got to Washington and said, that guy's not the guy. Even I don't care where you drafted him, he's not my guy. And went with the other people that they had, including Alex Smith, tells you that Haskins, the failures are not just on the field, they're behind the scenes as well. But for the Giant fans who are bad, you know, Daniel Jones is better than Haskins. Remember people criticizing the Jones for passing? Your guy's not any good either. I mean, it's not like your guy's any great shakes either. Now, I think he's better than Haskins, but it's not like a blowout. And what this season has proven is that Daniel Jones is basically terrible if Saquon Barkley's not in there. At least last year when Barkley you go through the games. When Barkley plays, at least Daniel Jones, I mean, he had real moments last year where you're like, okay, this guy, maybe he is the answer. Any time that Saquon has not played, he has never really had a game where you go, oh, wow, this guy, he's clearly the guy. And look, I was guilty as anybody. We all got carried away with that Seattle win. It was like it gave us a fever dream. It was amazing how we got all worked up over one win in Seattle. Now, I was guilty. Everyone was guilty. I was not as guilty as some, though. Some people were more guilty than I. I never, out of this mouth, you never heard me say the Giants are going to run the table. I never once said that. I never once thought that. I never once said the Giants are the team nobody wants to face come the playoffs. You're playing the Giants in the playoffs. You're not in the playoffs either. Dave Gettleman's done a great job. I never said that. But the question is it a failure if the Giants miss the playoffs this year? And I would say, look, the success of the Giants this year is a glitch in the matrix. It's based on the fact that the NFC East is putrid, right? I mean, the entire division, that's the only prism where you can look at the Giants this year and say, wow, this is a really successful year, is if they somehow do win the division this year, which is not out of the realm of possibility. It's still out there. You know, you win a couple of games, I guess it's possible. But Washington's down to their, I would think at this point, maybe their fourth string quarterback. I don't know what's going to happen with Haskins, if he's going to be suspended or whatnot. The Eagles imploded because they basically refused to remove a quarterback who at one point led the NFL in sacks, interceptions, and fumbles all at the same time. And the Cowboys, who lost their quarterback in, what, week four, week five, and whose coach is completely in over his head. Now, I like Joe Judge. I like the Tony set. I said before the season began, given the obstacles that he was going to have to overcome, it's almost like you had to kind of give him a pass on this year. He's exceeded expectations. I like the direction of it. I like his approach. Sunday night, I don't criticize him at all for going for touchdowns. That was the right call. You scored 6 points in the whole game. He quickly analyzed, you know what? We're not going to get that many cracks down here near the end zone for to have chances to score. And we're not going to win with field goals. And you know what? Turned out he was right. You weren't going to win the game with field goals. So, you know, I don't know if the Giants are going to be able to overcome this. I don't know if Daniel Jones is going to be back for sure. Even if he is, I got to be honest with you, it doesn't really feel like he is all that much of an upgrade over Colt McCoy. I mean, that kind of tells you that you kind of have a bit of an issue. Now, he's going to be the quarterback almost assuredly, I think, going into next year. And if you're talking about the draft, I don't know where the Giants are going to end up drafting. They got to load up on offense, man. I thought that they have some pretty good weapons. I like Slayton. I like Sterling Shepard. Ingram, you know, he's frustrating as all heck. And Barkley will be back. But you got to surround this guy. And next year has to be do or die for Daniel Jones. If he is not significantly better than what he is right now, then you got to cut ties even after 3 years. I mean, it's just that clear. All right, let's go back to the phones. 1-800-919-ESPN is the phone number. Let's go to Danny is in Centerport. Danny, what's going on, my man?
Hey, Gordon, how are you?
Good.
A loyal 5 a.m. listener.
God bless you.
I got a lot to spew off my chest, but I want to start with a positive. Dynamite on the Regal tumble with Breaking Bad. You know, following,
yes.
And that was definitely the way to go. I know we could have went a lot longer with it because of the show getting cut, but
right.
Great job with Breaking Bad. Other things, please, just let me get this off my chest.
I like how I'm taking credit for Breaking Bad success, but go ahead, Danny. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I blame you, okay, for one of the Jet debacles here, because all you did every 5 a.m. for weeks is predict, no doubt, no how, definitely the Jets will be getting Trevor. No
yep.
worries. So
yep.
You put the whammy on us.
I did as much as I could, Danny. I'm not even going to lie. I absolutely tried.
I know you're wallowing in it as much as you could, bud.
Yep.
Listen, you want to know what? I'm mad. I'm not mad at my team. I'm mad at the Rams, Gordon. I'm mad at the Rams. I'm mad at Sean McVay. I'm mad at 3rd-and-4 and 4th-and-4. And these are the play calls. He's coming up to win the division, to go for a division title. That's what he's coming up against. We're calling plays like that against the Jets. The Jets lured him into making lousy calls because he just thought it was the Jets, and he was going to make it happen. I'm mad at the Rams, that they're a disgrace, that they couldn't beat my team. My team can't even lose right, Gordon. I am so sick of all this. You know, my history, Gordon, is 51 years old, okay? We're close in age, and I'm a 40-year season ticket holder. I grew up in Queens. I went out to Long Island. I still kept my PSLs, and I still paid my money. My team just continuously rips my heart out, and they did it again. And you know what? I like Sam. I want to like Sam. And I think he can be a good, serviceable quarterback. And if we don't get Trevor, which it doesn't seem like we are, unless everybody in Jacksonville is completely sleeping, okay, then I go with Sam. I will take Sam over anybody else that they want to hand me right now. But I need a coach, Gordon. I need a coach more than anything, and you know it better than anybody.
Yep.
You suffered with it. If Trevor, I think his name was, no, I'm sorry, Vernon, thinks that Gase is coming back, well, then my 51 years of rooting for this team, okay, 40 years as a season ticket is over.
Yeah, I mean, Danny, there's no way. Look, as much as I like to, you know, kind of stick the needle in, and I absolutely was doing that by saying, you know, kind of hoping reverse jinx at the Jets 100%, they're going to get the number one pick.
I know what you would do.
All honesty, hand to God on my kids. There's no way that I can foresee that Adam Gase, even the Jets can't get this wrong. Not even the Jets could get this wrong and bring back Adam Gase.
Then we have to be saying to ourselves, who are we dealing with? If Douglas is going to sit through himself, then you have to say, wow, as much as we have all of it in on him, then he's got to be clueless too. Because anybody that knows what they're watching could say this guy has no idea. Listen, the Jet, he was luring the Rams to beat us, and the Rams still couldn't beat us. He gave them everything. You see those play calls he called just before the half to give the Rams back the ball to even get them 3 points? They shouldn't even have that 3 points.
No,
he's throwing the ball on second down.
Yeah, no, it was a disaster.
He's throwing the ball on second down. I mean, it's infuriating, Gordon.
The good thing for McVay, though, Danny, is that he has a photographic memory, so he will have to remember this Jets game for the rest of his life. I don't know if that's enough punishment for you, but he will remember this until his dying day.
Good, because he should. I hope he doesn't. I can never root for the Rams ever again in my lifetime. They could be playing your team, the Dolphins, and I'm rooting for the Dolphins.
Well, look, Danny. Look, you're a good fan, Danny, and thanks for the phone call. Look, if you're a long time, you know, he's 51. I'm 50. If you're a long time, you know, 20-year football fan, you can come up with reasons to hate every single solitary team except your own. Right? Like you can remember games. I can remember games again. Like, I don't even know, the Vikings or the Bears. The Dolphins and Bears played on like a Tuesday one time. I think it was because of some storm down. It was during the World Series or something like that. And it got pushed to either Monday night or Tuesday night. I can hate every team but my own. So Danny saying that he's going to hate the Rams for his rest of his life, that's the sign of a longtime NFL fan. If you're a fan of a team, for 20, 30 years, you can find ways. There's always a game. Even if you don't face the team that often, you will always now hate the Rams as a result. And again, I can't say that I'm shocked that the Jets did win a game. I did say that it felt like there would be a scare. Once the Raider game happened, I figured, all right, that has to be the scare, right? They can't beat the Rams. They can't beat the Browns. You know, maybe the Patriots. I can't see that either. So I was a little surprised, but me saying every single week, it's 100%. The Jets are definitely going to have the number one pick. That was me kind of putting it out in the universe, hoping to kind of reverse jinx it. The Gase thing, if he comes back as head coach, I'm sorry. I will be stunned. I mean, that will be the most stunning thing to happen in the history of the NFL. This guy who is despised by the fan base, who's done a terrible job, who has maybe the easiest job in football, right? Like, he was hired to take care of the quarterback. It's not about the defense. When there's an issue on special teams with the Jets, does anybody blame Gase? No. When there's a problem with the defense, does anybody blame Gase? No, not really. It's only the offense. It's only the quarterback. And it's been a disaster. Week in, week out. So again, I don't know, Christopher Johnson, Woody Johnson, Pepper Johnson, Larry Johnson, the football player, Larry Johnson, the basketball player, Jimmy Johnson, the race car, any Johnson you want to go to, they have to realize. Even if you just got, hey, Magic Johnson, do you think the Jets should bring back? No, of course not. That would be crazy. Bang. Thank you, Magic. You know what I mean? It would be that simple. It's that obvious. Even the Jets can't get this one wrong. Let's go out to John is in Queens. John, what's going on, man?
Hey, Gordon. Good talking to you.
Hey, John, what's up, man?
Congrats on your new gig, by the way.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
So I disagree on this take about moving on from Sam. I think, you know, and I think there's a lot of variables. One, he's probably just as young as some of these kids coming out in the draft next year. And the other thing is, I don't know. I don't like the other quarterbacks, and I don't know. I mean, there's a new life to me, and I'll tell you what it is. my new life now is that I can root for the Jets. I want them to win these games now. And I'm going to go, because I was all for the Trevor Lawrence now, and now I'm in. I'm going to root for them like a normal fan, and it feels great that I'm there.
Okay. I mean, look, John, if that's what you want to do, okay. I mean, Sam's only 23. He won't be 24 until June. So he's still, yes, he is a young quarterback. And look, I think from everything that I've heard, I've never met him personally, but everybody who's ever talked to him or had some dealings with him, the K-Show, they all talk about what a great guy he is. And he seems like an unbelievable guy and a likable person. But I just don't know how I can go. If this is, to me, a year where it's, okay, this is it. I can't get any worse than this. This has to be rock bottom, and I have to start making my move upward. I don't know how I can have faith in a guy who, again, has had moments where he's looked great, but it's like the old line about he has a very high ceiling and a very low floor. Sam's ceiling does seem pretty high. And if you told me that he did go on to have a good career, I can believe you. But his floor, I mean, there's moments. I mean, just go through them where, he's had week after week where he's not even thrown for like 200 yards.
Worse than Baker last year?
I think he probably, I don't know Baker's stats off the top of my head, but yeah, I think probably yes. I mean, consistently. Week in and week out. I mean, we can all say that they have to do this and they have, you know, the offensive line and the running game and all these different things. And John, thanks for the call, man. I don't know how you can say that you're going to be able to fix all these things so that now we can now have a safe. If I had told you on draft night 3 years ago that this was going to be the state of the Jets at this point, and this was going to be the quarterback at this point, I don't know how you would have signed for that. I don't think you would have signed for that. I mean, if I would have told you back then, this is what his stat line is going to be for this year. You would, Gordon's a Dolphin. He's a Dolphin fan. He hits the Jets, blah, 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 blah. I mean, go through it. This week he threw for 207 yards. The week before, 132. And keep in mind, these are games where the Jets are losing, basically from the coin flip. 132 yards, no touchdowns. Against the Raiders, he had 186 and 2 with an interception. Against Miami, 197 and 2. I mean, he was outplayed at times this year by Joe Flacco. Like, that's a direct comparison. Right? Like, this is not, hey, you know, this guy's got all these weapons. This guy has all these wide receivers and great offense. It's the same team. And Flacco didn't look, again, like I said about Daniel Jones, I didn't see that much of a difference between Daniel Jones and Colt McCoy. I certainly didn't see much of a difference between Sam Darnold and Joe Flacco. For me, I would say that everybody kind of needs a fresh start, right? Like, this is such a bad year. To me, it's about a bottoming out and let's start fresh. And start with someone. If you can't find a quarterback in this draft, okay, fine. This is not a one-year thing, but I'm not saying that I'm going to be hitching my wagon to Sam Darnold after this year. I think you have to find a different way, and I think it's best for the Jets, and I certainly think it's best for Sam, because if he's going to sell, he's not going to have three more years like he's had so far. He's going to have to turn it around quickly here. Otherwise, it's a very short shelf life in the NFL, right? The Nets are great. Everything's fantastic. Let's get back to the phone, shall we? 1-800-919-ESPN, 1-800-919-3776. The one thing I would say also about the Jets, because they will be in the search for a new head coach, nobody anywhere should, I don't think anybody did, but it's interesting when you hear the argument from the other side. Like people who are saying, well, you know, losing out on Trevor Lawrence is not so bad. It wasn't like you just draft Trevor Lawrence and it fixes it. Nobody anywhere was saying that Trevor Lawrence comes in here and the cast of characters remains the same and all of a sudden Trevor Lawrence is going to lift them to the Super Bowl. No, I mean, you're going to need to bring in new players. You're going to clearly need to bring in a head coach. But I think whenever you do hire the next coach, and make sure, I mean, that is a monumental decision, because each league is a little different. The NFL is all about the coaches. Baseball, it's different. It's about, you know, the guy who picks the talent, the analytics, and this thing and that thing. The NBA is clearly about the talent. You have to have the individual top 5, top 10 players. In the NFL, it's about getting coaching. And one of the really depressing things about this Jets season is, take a look, right? You have Leonard Williams, who looked like one player with you. He's the same guy. He goes to a different organization. Now, look, he's playing for a contract, so maybe that's part of it too. But look at how much more productive he has been there. That's coaching. Robbie Anderson, a guy you had in your building. And, you know, the GM was part of this. That he was here for that. And he goes down to Carolina. It's not like they got John Elway at quarterback. And look at the numbers he's putting up there. So, I mean, that's a bad sign that you need. I mean, it's clear as the nose on your face. You need to get a coach in here who knows what they're doing. I would think that, at least in terms of the coach, it can't get worse. I mean, I don't know who you're going to go get. I don't know who's going to be available. I don't know who's going to have interest in the job. But it's pretty clear that I don't think it's going to get any worse than this. Maybe I shouldn't say that. Maybe that's going out on a limb, especially with the Jets sometimes. But I do think that it's clear that after this season, clearly they're going to be in the market for a head coach. All right, let's go back to the phones. 1-800-919-ESPN. Mark is in Newark. Mark's been holding a long time. I appreciate it, Mark. What's going on, my man?
Hey, happy holidays, Gordon.
Same to you, Mark.
Yeah, you and your family. Gordon, Mariah Carey's song is just the best.
It's fantastic. It's a little, you know, that wears you out. It's so good that it kind of, it's a prisoner of its own success. You know what I mean?
I love that song.
It's a great song.
The Jets, a few things. First, I'm in agreement with the other caller. I was thinking about it before. I do like the bookend tackle idea. I like that. I like that idea best of all, provided that we get the coach. I want the coach. I want us to draft that tackle. And whoever we decide to get at quarterback, I think that Joe should be the person who decides that, or his coach that he hires. Collectively, they should decide that. I'm not a believer in Darnold at all. So I think I trust them on that. I wish I had got to see Morgan play, but that's another story. The last thing I got, Gordon, is see, what people don't understand is I'm a 58-year-old Jet fan, and we've seen everything from, like Pop says on the Wayans Brothers, from the Rudy to the Tootie. and it's just this love affair we have with this team, Gordon. I think there's a lot of haters, man. They wish that they had the Jet Nation is crazy. Because we just love the Jets. We're on every call, every play, every official call, every second. And we don't care who else is playing when the Jets are playing. That's just what it is. That's why we suffer like we do and love them like we do.
Well, look, I mean, you have to be, you know, if you're a good fan, and Mark, thanks for the call. I mean, you can't just, you know, change allegiances like that you have. And I get it. You know, the cynical Jet fan is out there and they put it up with it. And it's like the thing that I tweeted out, you know, a couple of weeks ago about, you know, how could anybody think the Jets wouldn't fire Adam Gase? And it's like that Farmers commercial about we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. I think Jet fans have seen a thing or two, so they're a little leery about whether or not the coach will be gone after this year. I think that if that does not take place, I mean, that would be the most monumental upset. And really, at that point, if the ownership doesn't realize at this point, and I got to assume that they do, but if they don't understand at this point, you know what? You can't sink in another year. And I thought this last year, when they won those games at the end of the year, oh, you know, they finished with, what, 7 wins? I said to you at the time, I would move. It doesn't look like the quarterback is progressing, and that has clearly remained the case. So I think that there's going to be a lot of changes for the Jets after this year. But the first one is going to be the coach. You got to get the coach right. If you get the good coach, you know, if you can find that guy that comes in here, and it might not be – I don't know that it's going to be some big, you know, the name that's out there from time to time is Jim Harbaugh or this guy or that, you know, somebody with a pedigree. That would be fantastic. But they got Joe Douglas is basically banking his NFL GM career with the Jets on getting this right. Because not that he picked Gase, but if he gets it as wrong or even close to as wrong as the Jets got it with Gase, everybody's going to be searching for work before too long. Before too long. Let's go out to Matt is in Queens. Matt, what's going on, my man?
Gordon, welcome to late night. Or newer,
yes.
Kind of like, you know, at least the nighttime.
Yes, it's beautiful. I love it.
Going to miss you at 5 a.m., though.
I appreciate that, Matt.
Dom was having some discussion about different ways to maybe penalize teams that tank and make a new kind of system. It's really impossible to devise a system where that's not going to be gamed. it doesn't matter how you do it. There's always going to be a couple of teams that are going to try to game it. And then his other idea was, like, to penalize the teams who have run bad, that they shouldn't get the best pick. All right, but let's say, for example, the top draft pick this year was a great pass rusher, okay? Now, Sam Darnold, Don speaks to him every week. I listen to him every week. He's a great guy. I'm sure there's other players on the Jets who are great guys. Why should those players be penalized because maybe the owner chose the wrong coach? So that doesn't make sense either, really.
Yeah, well, I mean, in terms of the tanking issue, it's not really an issue. No, nobody's really – I mean, I guess you could say that the Browns kind of did it a couple of years ago, kind of looking at the draft analytically and thinking to themselves, you know, we don't have to get the quarterback right away. Let's build up the other aspects of the team. And I don't know whether they got the quarterback right or not. I mean, it certainly looks brighter now with Baker than it has, but I'm not ready to say that as a case just yet. But I don't think that the NFL has to come up with any ways to prevent tanking, because I don't know that anybody has really benefited from it yet and accepted it for the game. You know, tanking in the NBA happens quite often because it's such a singular player league, right? You get that one superstar, completely changes your fate, and the NFL is not like that. But there are major benefits if a team ever did go all out and say, you know what, we're going to tank on the season. As I said before, no lottery. So if you have the worst record, you're going to get the number one pick. And if you nail a pick in the NFL, like if you get Trevor Lawrence or you get the quarterback where you're like, oh my, like Justin Herbert with the Chargers, you nail that guy, you get to basically keep that guy for his entire career. And draft picks in the NFL, because there's more of them, they're kind of more important. You have to build your team up through the draft almost, not primarily, but a significant amount of your team is going to come through the draft. If you don't draft well, you're not going to have a good team. You can't overcome that. So I know that nobody has really gone full out in it. I think in our lifetime, some team will realize those benefits. And I don't think that it would be that hard. If you play a terrible quarterback, a lot of times that's enough to take care of it. But we'll see.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.